Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews and the 11th chapter, which is affectionately known by many people across the world as the Faith Hall of Fame. And if you would stand for the reading of the Word, really we're going to look at several passages in the Bible, really just touching on them and touching on this theme that I want to preach to you today about, answering two of the most important questions and the most unavoidable questions that there are in the universe, Christian or not. And so this will be the first text that we look at, but I want to use it to start. Hebrews 11, we will look at verses 17 through 19. Hear God's word, and we will call this message, Trusting and Treasuring the Lord. Father, anoint your servant, flawed as he is, with your power, that my heart would be changed and that your heart would go forth. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his own son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Father, into your hands we commit our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There is a theme that runs throughout the whole Bible, and it answers two of those common questions everyone has, not just Christians, but anybody. This message is for anybody, all people. And there will be no one that ever hears this message. You hear me now, or whenever. No one will disagree with me about these two questions. No one. It's impossible to do because everyone, even little babies in their mind, even if they can't articulate it, are coming across these questions. And these questions speak of our anxieties, our doubts, our fears, our frustrations, our terrors, and our worries. These questions come to every person throughout their life and in an unlimited number of contexts. You'll recognize them as soon as I speak them. These are the questions everyone must face. The first question is, what if? What if? And the second question is, what now? What if? And what now? Everyone knows these questions. Can I get an amen? Amen. Even if you're not a Christian here this morning, you know you want to say amen because right now you're saying, what if? We all do that. What if this next thing? Or maybe the next thing has happened. What now? These questions, they harm us. They harm us. And they hinder us. But God's word can help. First, we're going to think about the question, what if? Now, I'm going to go through a whole litany of questions here related to what if. And some of these, I'm sure all of them in one way or another, is going to get you. But I want you to make this personal. We don't like to face the what ifs, but God can help us face the what ifs. Because we just want to back away from the what ifs. Or we're being told, well, you shouldn't think what if. Well, let's move on. What if this thing happens or that thing doesn't happen? Fill in the blank. What if I can't make it work? Teenagers, are you listening? What if it doesn't work out? What if they don't like me? Can I say that one again? What if they don't like me? What if I don't make the team? What if they laugh at me? What if I fail? What if I get fired? What if my business fails? What if we lose our house? What if the disaster or the peril or the plague or whatever it is comes to this area? What if the plane crashes? What if my child dies? What if my children won't talk to me? What if my children reject Jesus? What if my spouse leaves me? What if my spouse dies before me? What if I never get married or never get remarried? What if I'm always alone? What if I stay sick? What if I can't afford the medicine? What if I get cancer? What if things never change? What if the worst happens? What if God never gets me out of this problem? What if the country gets taken over by radicals? What if I have to go to jail for Jesus? What if I lose my ministry? What if I lose my mind? What if I lose my mind? What if I never understand God's purpose in this? What if my dreams don't come true, but my nightmares do come true? What if everything spins out of control? What if I can't get what I need? What if I don't know what to do? Everybody asks what if, right? Everybody does. Now for the Christian, the answer to the first question, what if, question mark, is even if, exclamation point. What if, even if. So I'm going to say what if, and I'd like you to say even if. What if?
Even if.
Exactly. Even if the what if happens, I can face it in faith. Now, we looked at this text here in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, and it's talking about Genesis 22. And here is Abraham. And he's told that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He knows the Messiah is coming through his line, through Isaac. Remember, he had Ishmael. He goes, no, this isn't the child of promise. This one is. And then God tells him to go up to a mountain and kill him. And he has faith. He's about to do it. He has him down. And Isaac wasn't a little boy, by the way. So Isaac had to have some faith, too. He took his maybe 30-year-old son and put him on the altar and has the knife right about to come down. And, of course, God stops him. And God provides himself a sacrifice. Really neat in the language there, but even if your dream dies, God is still God, and God still is focusing his love on you. You're not just in his presence. His presence, if you know him, is in you, and he's looking right at you. What if? Again, the most important thing, this is the Messiah's line. This is everything. And Abraham must be thinking, well, what if? But it tells us what he thought. It says in Hebrews that he understood that, well, I guess God's going to bring him back to life. Right? What if? Abraham said, even if. Let's think about Job. In Job 13:15, remember? He had already lost his family. He had lost his wealth. Now he lost his health. And everybody, his friends were saying, blah, 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 blah. You don't know what you're doing. You must have sinned this way. And he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if he takes my life, I will trust him. And you think, well, how can he do that? Because he's dead. I can't trust you. I'm dead. No. Because you'll look in Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27, and he says, even though my flesh dies, I will stand here and I will see my Redeemer. He lives, and it'll be my flesh, not another. I will see him with my eyes. Even if, see, there's an Old Testament hint there of Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection. Even if I die, even if I had to lose everything, and I hadn't done anything really wrong, and I have to be this spectacle for the world. And he says, oh, that my story would be penned with a rod of iron. And it was. And we're still using it today. I believe that Job was written by Moses in the time that he was back in the wilderness before he came back to Egypt. And he brought this word to them. Say, look, I know it's been 430 years. It was nearly 400 years and then I messed up. But God doesn't mess up. And God can change things around. Even if. What if? Even if. And so Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What if? Even if. Let's look at again. Again, we're just touching these. In Daniel chapter 3. Oh, Daniel, you remember the story, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had made this huge statue. And he liked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But through slander and through different machinations, he got this decree passed and said, if you don't bow down when the trumpets blow, if you don't walk along to the sound of the music of the culture. Oops. That you're going to be thrown into this fire. And he said, "Who? What God's going to deliver you?" If you're there, let's read that. And it's a long story, really, but it's beautiful. But I'm just going to read verse 17 and 18 and see their response. Well, in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We don't have to think about this. We thought about it ahead of time. Our mind is made up ahead of time. What if? Even if." He says, "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." You think, see, it's their faith, and they have this gigantic faith, and so that did it, and so I haven't paid enough to that lady on the TV with the blue hair, and so I don't have enough faith, and it doesn't work. Wrong. That's not biblical faith. And if your church is teaching that, they're wrong. And I will die on that hill. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, "Hey, you know what? He's able to deliver us out of the hand, and he will deliver us. But it may not be the way that we thought." Now, it did be one way. It did be one way, anyway. He says, "But if not," in other words, "even if, be it known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Let me tell you something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not old men either. These were kids. Young people can face the fire of our culture in faith. Yes, they'll mock you. Yes, they'll laugh at you. Yes, they'll say you're stupid or come on, evolution or whatever it may be. Everybody's doing it. You don't have to do it. Right. And you can face it. What if everybody leaves me? What if I'm ostracized? What if I'm marginalized? What if I'm criminalized? Even if. What if?
Even if.
Even if. Hmm. Can be changed. And then let's look at Habakkuk. We have a song that one of our song leaders wrote, and it's beautiful, and it riffs off of this here. Habakkuk's answering why. He's asking why. Why, God, why, God? And he comes to the end, and he says this in Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. This is, he loses everything. He says, it doesn't matter. He says, even if, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the stalls. Think about that. That's everything. Fig tree should not blossom, no fruit on the vines, nothing to eat, nothing to drink, the produce of the olive fail, no delicacies, the fields yield no food. Oops. The flock be cut off from the fold. I'm alone. There shall be no herd in the stalls. I'm poor. I'm destitute. I have nothing to eat. No one's coming to me. If all that happens, what if all that happens? He says, even though, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength, and so on. God is greater than anything you might lose. See, we naturally don't want to think of these questions. And so we avoid them or we just try to fake it. But we can face them ahead of time in faith. Now you're going to say, but this has already happened. That's the next question. What if? You better make up your mind ahead of time. See, the truth is that some of these what ifs are bound to happen. And you might be one of those people that has a tender and sensitive conscience and you have a lot of fear. And you think, oh, please don't bring this to me. You've got to learn your way out of it. And stick your hands up in the air and go, yes. Doesn't matter, God. Come on. You need God's power. You need to do it ahead of time. You need to be able to say, when life says, what if? And the devil says, what if? And your flesh says, what if? You say, even if.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And you say, but I'm worried about my children, not just about me. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I've always said, though he slay someone I love, yet will I trust him. And it had happened. He had already lost all his kids.
Yes. Yeah.
But, is God God? What are you going to do about it? Ah, the only answer to what if is even if. The truth is some of these what ifs are bound to happen in your life. I don't want them either. I think what if too. I think, what if this person shows up and punches me in the face? And I'm little. But you need to face these things with true biblical faith. in the Lord's strength, with a renewed mind, because no one is exempt from the pain or the problems of this life. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
You don't even have to say, so be it, amen, because it just happens, baby. God doesn't promise anyone an easy, always happy, calamity-free, catastrophe-free life. But see, we have answers. See, you already know this. No Christian, no preacher, if you're not a Christian, has to convince you of this. You already know it. But you don't have an answer. I'm showing you the answer.
Yes.
This is unbelievable. I couldn't do it. Yeah, exactly. It's a miracle.
Yes.
That people could speak like this, talk like this, believe like this. I'm going down in flames from 1,500 feet. But God's still good.
Yes, amen.
Even if I die.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to die right now, but even if I die.
Right.
Even if I can't walk. Even if I lose my sight. Even if I lose my life. Even if.
Amen.
Go ahead. Throw me the what if. I'll exclaim, even if. Again, God doesn't promise you a stress-free life. Whew. But if you're a Christian, he does promise that whatever happens, it will ultimately be for your good and God's glory. Faith answers the question of what if with even if. And not even if. See, even if this happens to me, then I'll get out of it. No, friends. There's something to faith being an expectation. I get that. But there's something bigger and more important than that. See, people think of faith as just a sure expectation of a desired outcome. Like, if I have enough faith, God will give me what I want, keep me from all harm, and always deliver me from disaster the way I want it in this life. And there's no such thing as luck, my friend. Exactly, good luck. I don't have Jesus, good luck. But see, that isn't what biblical faith is about. Biblical faith is about something greater than that. Now, faith is a sure expectation, yes. But that expectation is an understanding that God doesn't owe me, but God does own me. And no matter what, he will take care of his prized possession. Did you realize that? If you have been bought with his redeeming blood, you are his prized possession. And nothing's going to harm you ultimately. It's just going to purify you. Or whatever God is doing, it doesn't matter. Because no matter what, even if, no one can pluck me out of his hand. God doesn't owe me, but God does own me. And he's going to take care of me as his prized possession. You ever think of yourself that way? Don't get prideful about it. But you're his prized possession. Did you realize that? But this means I'm his. And he takes care of me on his terms, as he sees fit. And I can trust him because he knows best. Even if he lets me think what I think is the worst happen. Can you hear me? You know, we're in Hebrews chapter 11. If you look at verses 32 through 40, you're going to see all these heroes. And, whoa, they did this, they did that. See, this is going to be such an incredible thing for some of you. It is for me. He says, what time is it? Okay, we have time. He says, what should we say? For time would fail the tale of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, or David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith, all of fame, faith. That ain't most of us, baby. You'll see most of us at the end of this chapter. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, who were making strong out of weakness, yet mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release. Ah, so they might rise again to a better life. And I'm not discounting that, and that's wonderful. And amen if you got that victory. Amen?
Right.
So the first part looks at faith in the power of victory. But verses 36 through 40 looks at the power of faith when you're a victim. And others. But I know I'm going to resign to that. Stop that. You have the victory either way. Turn yourself over fully to God and maybe he'll pull you out of some of those things. But if you turn yourself over fully for God, you'll have the victory even if he doesn't get you out of those things. It says, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Boy, that's tough in America. And all these, though commended through their faith, they were commended, they're in the Faith Hall of Fame, did not receive what was promised. What? Spiritual warfare time. But God promised. Sometimes the promise of God is not what we think it is. The promise is yet to be fulfilled. We are living in what they call the already, not yet. Okay? And since God had provided something better for us, I don't want him to give me what I want. I want him to give me what he wants. Woo! Since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect, so we can all rejoice together. I don't want to just get to the party early and miss the good stuff. You see, even when you're a victim, it's still faith in who God is, and it's still victory despite what happens. I read the text this morning. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's about trusting and treasuring God above all else. You know, so often we sing and talk and all that about Revelation 12, 11, and it's good. And it's quoted so many times, but we often miss the context in the whole verse. Revelation 12, 1, 12, 11 says, "And they've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." Yay! Yay! Wait a minute. "For they loved not their lives even unto death." They overcame even though they died. This is talking about the martyrs. They're just like the unnamed heroes of Hebrews 11, 36 through 40. And that may wind up being some of us. You see, sometimes God gets me out of a situation. Sometimes God leads me through a situation. And sometimes God leaves me in a situation. But in any situation, I trust God and treasure him for who he is, even when I really don't understand what he does. This is biblical faith. Even if the what ifs happen, God loves me and he will be there with me. And none of the problems of this life or this world can change the person, the power, the promise, or the providence of God. No matter what happens, it will ultimately be for my good and his glory. Amen. Can you say that? And I will worship because he's worthy. I know that even if the worst happens, God's grace is sufficient. That doesn't demonstrate a lack of faith. That demonstrates the power of faith. People are selling a false gospel. Shouldn't be selling the gospel anyway. Should be proclaiming it. Let me say that again. These things, when God leaves you in it and all that, you think, oh, if you just had enough faith. No, if you have enough faith, as long as God leaves you in it, to show others what faith really is. Faith doesn't always get you out of your what ifs, but it turns them into even ifs. But if you're not a Christian, how can you answer this question with any real hope? What ifs? Well, then I'll do this and I'll do this. All you have left is just your own willpower. And it's not enough to overcome the world. You will get overcome and you will die. Still, even answering what if with even if, there comes a time when a what if happens. Our worst fears are realized. Something we weren't expecting comes upon us. We weren't ready with our what if, even if. Or even if we were ready with our what if, even if. Now the even if is right here. The worst has happened, or is happening, or is about to happen, and you know it. Your question has gone from what if, ready, to what now. What now? Can you hear me? Say amen. Amen. What now? What now? Yeah, what now? For the Christian, just like the answer to the first question, what if, is even if. The answer to the second question, what now, is even now. Just like you can face your what ifs ahead of time, listen, just like you can face your what ifs ahead of time, you can also face your what nows when it is time. When it is time. What now? I'm right on it. I have urgency. You've got to help me. This, that, and the other thing. Oh, no. What now? Even now. Let's do that. What now?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's talk about Job again. At the beginning of the story, Job 1:21, he had lost everything. Hadn't lost his health yet. But you know what he says in Job 1:21? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm his and he is mine, and he'll do with me as he please. He's the potter, I'm the clay, and he has my best interest in mind. And he's painting a bigger picture than just me. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What now? Even now, you can worship and praise the Lord. Yes. You're saying, oh, this is the power of real faith. This is what growing your faith is. Can you hear me? Let's look at some New Testament, and let's look at Paul. 2 Corinthians 4. Anybody with me? 2 Corinthians 4. See, I'm giving you a battery of text here that should be very familiar with you. If you're not, get familiar with them. Because the what ifs and the what nows are getting very familiar with you. And you can answer back, even if, even now. First Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. It's getting worse and worse for Paul. You realize that. He's getting older and older. More and more people are trying to kill him. Less and less people are thinking he really is an apostle. And all kinds of mayhem and chaos is happening. But he says, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Do you believe that can really happen? Yes. For this light momentary affliction. I don't think it's so light and momentary. I'm being honest. It feels like gravel and ashes in my mouth, and yet, how am I going to praise God with that going on in my mouth? Say, Lord, it's easy to praise when things are great. But sometimes we forget to. And I'm not saying, well, that's why God put this on you. No. It isn't. If I just obey just rightly, have just enough faith that I'll never suffer, bogus. Liars. Not the truth. Now, we can avoid some, stop complaining, stop blame shifting and all that, have faith. That helps. But you think the Apostle Paul was doing the Lord's will? I think so. It was this light momentary affliction. He can only do that when he contrasts trusting and treasuring the Lord. It's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We're not looking at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. It's getting worse, but it's getting better. All of a sudden that thing happens. Now you're in the what now? Oh, praise the Lord. That's what now. What now? God hasn't changed. That's what now. What now? He loves me just as much, and he's showing his love to me even in this pain. That's what now, devil. That's what now, flesh. That's what now, world. That's what now, self. That's what now. Even now. And Paul was dogged by this. Girlfriend, boyfriend, let me tell you. He was dealing with this, and he knew it. He didn't hide it. I'm superstar. No. He's Paul. And he had the Spirit just like you do. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18. He says, even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. If someone comes here now and puts a gun to my head and blows my brains out, well, it stinks. Well, what are we going to do? We'll praise the Lord for the life that we had. We'll thank him for the days that we had and the word that we had. And boy, it'd be a great time for it to be right now, wouldn't it? It'd just prove the point. Are you willing to be a sermon illustration? That's a tough one, isn't it? Job's a sermon illustration for his whole life. It's thousands of years later. He says, even if I'm poured out. And he has the what now? Because remember, when he wrote Philippians, he was in a jail. And he was going from jail to jail to jail. The jailhouse tour. And a following of people that said, oh, we're not even going to eat or drink till you're dead. Talk about the Grateful Dead. Talk about the deadheads. Wow. Paul knew his time was short. And you know what? It wasn't just about his life. He'd already lost everything. Look at chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. He goes, but whatever I gain I had. And he was a stud. He was the talk of the town. He was the greatest Pharisee there was. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, you already know Jesus, but Paul says you lose stuff, you can gain stuff. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in in order that I may gain Christ. Paul knew his time was short and he'd lost it already. He had already got to the what now. Okay, what now? Now I'm thrown out of the synagogue. Now no one even wants, the disciples don't even want me. Because Barnabas has to convince them that I'm the good guy now because I used to hate them and I had them killed. You ever been like that? God turns you around, things are really happening, and there's someone always there to say, no, God doesn't do that. They don't know God. Don't do that to people. They can turn. I was talking to someone the other day, and they go, oops. If people actually knew your backstory and your dark history, they'd run. And maybe you would. But if you don't have any hope that God does things like that, you don't have any hope for yourself as well as anybody else. Where does your hope lie? In yourself? You suck. Compared to God, where's your hope lie? I mean, really. I'm not mad at you. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm not any better than you. Paul was this murderer. Do you understand that? And they all were like, wait. And then he's an apostle doing all these miracles. And they're like, you ain't no apostle. You ain't preaching the word faith doctrine. Come on, get a Cadillac. I mean it. But Paul lost it all already. Let's look at him at the end. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now he's really at the end, and he knows it's time. It's the last letter he wrote, and he's like, uh-oh, death time. But watch what he says here. He answers the what now, because he's at the what now. I'm in jail. I'm going to get my head cut off. And he says, even now. Watch this now, because he's going to say something that makes you think, what? Wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. Except for God. 2 Timothy 4:16. He goes, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but everybody deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by and strengthened me so that the message was fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Whether that means he was in the Colosseum or it's just all those guys following him around and they didn't catch him. But they caught him. And he's in jail again. And he knew this was the end. He goes, now watch this, because you read this, you think, this is not true. Because he died. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He didn't get out of that prison. That's where he got his head cut off. He was delivered by death. That's the what now. Even now. As the guillotine, as the sword, as the gun, as the lethal injection, as everybody, even the Christians don't believe me, but I know I've given my life to the Lord, and you're there at the end, and they're going to put you away for good. You say, thank you, Jesus, for delivering my soul, and I'll see you in a few minutes. Yeah. Just so, exactly. Think about the disciples. They had to face a whole season of what-ifs and what-nows. First, they had to face the ultimate what if. What if Jesus dies? And then they had to learn through the ultimate what now. Because Jesus did die. Of course, he rose from the grave. Yay! But then he had to ascend to heaven. What now? But then the Spirit came down. Yay! But then they all died as martyrs, as ever John. It's a roller coaster of joy and sorrow. But God was with them through it all, and they worshiped him through it all.
Amen.
These simple phrases, this simple answer to these questions, they're profound, but they can change your life. Replacing what if with even if. And what now with even now. It's going to set you free and make your worship deep and powerful. You see, God is good when we're winning, and God's good even when we're losing. I want to be winning, yes, but the point is, we're winning even when we're losing. None of the problems of this life or this world can change, as I said before, the person, the power, the promise, the providence of God. And sometimes you never discover that God is all you need until God is all you have. Let's talk to some old dead people. The Puritan Stephen Charnock said this, there may be joy in God when there's little joy from God. Whew. You need to read some Puritans, man. Whew. Corrie Ten Boom, you know The Hiding Place, the Holocaust. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. J.C. Ryle, Anglican bishop from the 19th century, said, now listen to this. This fits with what we're saying so perfectly. The Lord is a friend who never changes. There's no fickleness about him. Those whom he loves unto the end. And that's just this life. There is no end. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4 says this, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." Even when you have to live in a season of what now, you can still worship God even now. See, this is about a gospel mindset. What if? Even if. What now? Even now. This is the power, the promise, the peace, the perspective that the gospel brings. It isn't really about what you need to do. It's about trusting and treasuring God for who he is and what he's done. The gospel is good news. It's not good advice. That's why we proclaim it is finished, not get to work. Excuse me. Even if I take a drink of water. Even now may my lips praise his name. When I have Jesus, I have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch, and I can't mess up. But more. I have something success can't secure, failure can't forfeit, popularity can't gain, loneliness can't lessen, winning can't win, losing can't lose, demons can't deny, people can't produce, fear can't conquer, politics can't control, friends can't fracture, enemies can't erase, the boss can't break, taxes can't take, suffering can't suffocate, affliction can't eliminate, all the noise in the world can't drown out, and all the evil in the universe can't keep down. I can win it all or lose it all, but Jesus is still my all in all. I can rejoice evermore. I can praise without ceasing. I can give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God for me in Christ Jesus. I can answer the question, what if? With the exclamation, even if. Because I trust God. I've renewed my mind around the truth that God is unchanging. He's all-powerful, and he's fully invested in me. He's focusing his love on me right now, no matter what's going on. I can answer the question of what now with the exclamation, even now, because I treasure God. He is the source of my joy, my peace, and I will worship him. Because no matter what I may lose, what I may have to go through, or what I may have to face, my God is worth it. His promise is far greater than my pain. One of my favorite verses, and I've kind of made it my own. And different versions say different things, but it basically comes down to this. Psalm 73, verse 26. My strength and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let him take everything. I've got Jesus. Even if I'm throwing stuff away and woo, I'm messing up this and the other thing, that don't change Jesus, baby. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. And all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. But if you're not a Christian, you can't really answer all the what ifs. And they will finally overcome you. Turn to Jesus today. Ask him to forgive you your sins. And let him be your answer. Let him be your answer. He'll ask you, what is this? Jesus. That'll turn enough people off anyway. But maybe someone that wanted to come down on you, wanted to treat you wrong, even if they're right near close to you right now, maybe it'll spark them up. If you're a Christian and you're in a season of what now, embrace your reality. Get real with God, but allow him to be as real to you as he really is. I was talking to someone Friday or yesterday, and a prayer came to my mind. And if you're in that, what now? Even now, hear this prayer and make it your own. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I praise you for your mercy and grace in my life through this difficult time. Lord, it is a difficult thing, and the physical, mental, and emotional pain I cannot bear alone. But through the Holy Spirit, you have been with me. You are focusing your steadfast love on me, and for this I give thanks. I don't understand why this has to continue, except to know that you have a good purpose in it. Though it may seem like gravel and ashes in my mouth, my lips will continue to praise you, for you are good. You have taught me to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks for in everything, for this is the will of God for me in Christ Jesus. I know that even if I don't receive the relief that I desire in the time that I desire it, that you are my ultimate source, my joy, my comfort, my peace, and my promise. And now I ask for your continued presence to shepherd me through this pain and to make my life shine as a light for the gospel and for your glory. In the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, amen.